The problem with psychological trauma is it has an expiration date. And sooner or later, it's going to rear its ugly head, and you don't get to choose what that date is. And you don't have sometimes the wherewithal to be able to read it on the outside of the gosh damn box. And what I mean by that is now you walk into the place and all of those things have been tagging along like Scrooge's buddy pulling the chains. And all of a sudden you're in that McDonald's and you get the cold fries. Or all of a sudden you wave the person ahead and the person waves you ahead and you flip them off and then it's a road rage. You won't see it coming because you're not programmed to. Let's go back to societal.
Welcome to the Left of Greg podcast. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Left of Greg podcast. I'm Brian Marin, the host and creator of the show. As always, I will be joined by human behavior expert, Mr. Greg Williams, who the show is affectionately named after. Here on the Left of Greg show, our goal is to increase your advanced critical thinking ability through a better understanding of what we call human behavior, pattern recognition, and analysis. If you'd like to find out more about what that is, you can check the episode details. If you have any questions or would like us to cover a specific topic, please reach out to us at leftofgreg@gmail.com. Today we are talking about some recent tragedies that involve the same type of crime where a person murdered their own family members and then killed themselves. We're discussing these cases in order to shed some light on how we can get better at identifying pre-event indicators of violence in all humans. One of the ways we can do this is by shifting our perspective and trying to see a problem or situation from the perspective of the person who is experiencing that problem or situation, not from the perspective of an outside observer. In today's episode, we talk about how to do that in some of the most extreme circumstances imaginable. Please don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find the links in the episode details. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please tell your friends about it. All right, Greg, it looks like we're up and recording here, getting going. After a busy few weeks, we had a couple guests on the last couple episodes that were awesome. We're getting a ton of great feedback with Dr. Black and then Chip Huth, both awesome conversations. We loved them. So I'm glad to hear that other people did as well, because you never know. Yeah. Sometimes what are really cool for us, some people listening are like, hey, like, this isn't great for us. You guys might be having a great conversation, but everyone's doing, everyone was interested in it. So now it'll be us this week. And I know for those listening, Greg's a little under the weather from whatever he picked up wandering 6th Street at all hours in Austin.
That is true. I have to say that Kristen, our dear friend on the East Coast, said it's because I snuggled up too close to that beard and something crawled out of it when we were sharing a room in Austin.
That's entirely possible. However, I think the 6th Street explanation is far more reasonable and logical. Yeah, whatever you were doing down there. Like, Greg, are we all done for the day? And you're like, oh, I'm going to hang out for a bit.
I just want to survey this a little longer.
2 a.m, what are you doing in this alley?
With a cardboard sign.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got that going,
but we
want to just kind of shout out to everyone listening. We really appreciate it. Thanks for those
who really do
been reaching out and asking questions and sharing episodes. It really helps us out a lot to share those episodes with a friend. You like it, send it to someone you know, and even hop on there if you can, like, leave a review. Yeah. Hopefully it's a good review. If you spend your time listening to our episode, our show, because you hate us, go get the help that you need. but if you could leave a review or something, that would be really cool. We appreciate that. And today, kind of shifting gears here, it's not the most uplifting of topics, but it's important for us to discuss. And you sent me several articles, and I believe it was 5 just in the last week. And in every one of these situations, I'll put the links up in the episode details. There's no reason to really get into each story, but a lot of them were where, you know, a family member killed his family, then killed themselves. In one case, it was a mom, it was a female. But other time it was everything from a New York City school superintendent thought he was going to lose his job, stabs his family members to death and kills himself. Family down in Texas lost their kid, I believe, in an accident, recently drowning, and then ended up, he killed the family and then killed himself. And there's a few other ones in there. The mom one was, she killed her kids and herself after losing custody of her children. And these are brutal,
brutal, brutal stories, and we've seen them. You know, this is obviously nothing new. So I kind of wanted to sort of frame this discussion, and there's other examples we'll get into, historical ones in the US, but, you know, how does this happen? When, why does someone do this to their family? And then, you know, so how, you know, obviously I'm assuming they're in our terms, their cup is full, but how does that happen? How do you get, how does your cup get full? Why do you do that to your family members? And then, you know, lastly, maybe, you know, how do we miss this stuff? Because a lot of this is, and I've got some examples too, where it's screaming out to the world, and, you know, we still miss it. No one ever thinks that that could be a potential outcome. So therefore, you know, they don't look at it. So I think we'll frame the discussion around that, and I'll kind of throw to you to sort of start it off with maybe another example or whatever, wherever you want to start.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's talk Austin. So Austin PD lost almost 800 officers since the first year of COVID for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
And Austin is a strange,
we've seen,
weird, wonderful city.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that we say
that. That is a good way to describe it. It is a wonderful city, but and strange Austin, and weird. Yeah.
Austin sometimes can't get out of its own way when it comes to what they want, when it comes to policing and lowering crime and all those other things, because you can't have it both ways, right? And so the reason I'm bringing this up is that it's driving towards the narrow end of the funnel. Brian and I are in Austin. Absolutely loved our time. Absolutely got a lot of great work done. And we're standing on the very first day of college at the base of what we refer to as the Whitman Tower, where the former Marine got up and that morning and shot his wife, then shot his mom, and then, you know, carried a footlocker full of weapons and ammo to the top of the tower at UT. And killed until he was killed. And the kids around us had no idea. And there was a police presence. There was a undercover and plainclothes presence. There were UAVs, Brian, flying around, making sure that they were keeping an eye on everything, keeping everybody safe. And they did a great job of
it. I don't know what those UAVs were for, but they should have been doing that.
The locations seemed to suggest that somebody was on the ball, right? And the idea was that, you know, just grab sampling. People had no idea.
They had no idea that were in a vehicle driving down the street that they were walking in, let alone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Completely oblivious. You're right.
It was beyond, you know, no idea.
But people miss a very simple connection there. So we love Vegas, by the way. Invite us to shit in Vegas because we absolutely love it. And
I got married there once.
We were at a hotel. Yeah, exactly.
It didn't last.
We were at a hotel that was a really high priced hotel for a change. Thank God somebody else was paying. And I remember walking in and seeing all the kiosks ready to go. And there was only one person and there was a line at this historically high end hotel. What does that mean? Well, you look at the high end hotel that we stayed in, you look at a place like Vegas, and you see that there's 200 or 300 open positions at that hotel. Now that's back to the, you know, Austin losing 800 coppers and not having them replaced. So Brian, there's a standard of care that we've all created as a baseline for our environment. And we've had 35 or 40 or 50 or 60 years of enjoying that baseline.
Right.
And filling it with a great deal of fidelity. Now what's happened is those cops aren't there. That patrol isn't going out. Nobody's coming when you call 911. And specifically in the instance of calling 911, I remember in Detroit, here's the first thing. They were sending a cop car on everything. And there was always a one or a two-man car that was close by, or a mid car, or somebody, a heavy car, that was going to drop in and check on you when they heard a call in the area. And everybody knew the local cop in their area. Then the next thing was, hey, listen, is this in progress? You know, when you were calling 911. And then the next thing was, well, listen, if it's not a felony, do me a favor, come in tomorrow. Yeah, but the guy just left. Yeah, I got it. But sometime this week, come in and make the report.
Yeah.
So what's happened, Brian, is the standard of care in our brain and in our mind and in our life is at one level. And the reality of that standard of care is at another. And so that creates dissonance, but not the kind of dissonance we see and feel all the time, but almost like a storm in the back of our mind that's keeping us up at night. We're not sure exactly what it is.
Why?
Is it the full moon? Yes. Is it the waves crashing? Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that cup is there, positioned there to catch some of the humidity and the turbidity. And what's happening is the cup becomes full without us noticing it's full. And then all we need is that catalyst. All we need is that trigger moment.
Yeah.
In life, for example, your superintendent hears that he's going to be let go. It's not the truth, but it doesn't matter because it becomes his truth.
Yeah.
The old Biden thing, you know, the truth versus the fact. Stop for a minute, because what you don't understand is that when I'm sitting at home and I think that my vote no longer counts.
Whitman thought his vote
over and over and over that. I have something wrong with me. My head hurts all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I need help.
He legitimately did, yeah.
And everybody says to him, because he even writes in his pseudo-suicide note, please do me a favor, autopsy protocol and find out. And there was stuff.
There was. He had a brain tumor. Yeah.
But he's begging people, pay attention to me. So that dad in Ohio that kills his wife and his three kids, and remember that the kids are significantly older. It's different. This is going to sound so horrible, but it's different killing a baby child or a smaller child than killing a child that you spent the last 10 or 12 or 15 years with. I know how that sounds, but folks, follow me for a minute.
Yeah.
To do that, to become that person, that's a detachment with the reality. And the reality detachment happened a drip, drop, inkling at a time. Generally, it doesn't happen overwhelmingly one big decision. So, for example, the female that killed her two kids in the trailer and then killed herself.
Yeah.
Okay. She fought, Brian. She fought the good fight. She wanted custody. It was a long, protracted battle.
Those always
are. And guess what? She's exhausted. She's exhausted, and she sees no future with those kids anymore. And it's just a custody dispute. When we sit back and have coffee, we look at it and go, wait a minute, there were a million options.
Not when you're in the moment.
See one of them.
Not when you're in that moment.
Exactly.
You're the one you sent about the New York City superintendent thinking he's going to lose his job. That immediately reminded of one of the worst school attacks in U.S. history 100 years ago, 1925, Bath Township, Michigan. Andrew Kehoe, you know, killed his. He was involved in school. He's a teacher, administrator, and then same thing. They were going to fire. He was always bitching about the budget and this, and you're doing this wrong, and I'm going to tell you how to do things, and this is how you get it. It was the same things you see at a school board meeting today. I mean, the same stuff. And he's bitching, going on arguments, and the same thing. He feels disenfranchised. They're going to fire him. They're going to get rid of him. And he went home. Same thing. He killed his mom. Right, hung a sign in his yard that said criminals are made, not born, because he's an injustice collector. It's not his fault. It's everyone else's, right?
Exactly.
He drives to the school and he builds a bomb. He builds a V-bid.
Significant, yeah.
He packed the school full of explosives to detonate on that first day of school. So he detonates that, kills a whole bunch of people. People show up to the scene. His car he had built into a V-bid 100 years ago, right? And then he blew that up with people there. And it's a horrible, horrible terrorist attack, in our nation that a lot of people don't know of. But the point is, it goes back to that cup is full, right? Whatever that is. And you brought up a great point I want to hit on. It just happened last night, the blue moon, right? The full moon.
Was incredible. Moon,
yeah. We saw it out right here. I was bringing the insurgent home from her practice, and like we're coming up, and it was perfect because it was like just a little bit of a cloud in front of it, but you could see it was a massive. I was like, whoa, what the hell? And then I was like, wait, is that's significant? So I looked it up. Last night was, the biggest moon on record. You're not going to see another one like that for another 10 years or whatever it was. And what did the insurgents say? She's like, oh, that's when the freaks come out. And I'm like, it's so funny because that becomes it then. It's not everything that's going on in their life. It's, and then the full moon happens, and that's when we know things happen, even though there's no difference in activity on a full moon versus a normal moon. Everyone has a story,
but
Greg, I'm sure you do.
Exactly.
From cop work going like,
but
yeah,
it's not true.
It's not true, but you do have a story.
Yeah, exactly.
But we attribute that value. So it automatically becomes something else. Well, it's because he was wronged and this happened it's just a perfect
because again, we're taking it apart.
Things.
So, right. So it's easy saying what we feel the motivation behind something was. Like I don't want to get into the details today because my head's not ready for it, but there was a very recent shooting with a foreign national going in and committing a homicide. One shot fired, kills a guy. The two schools of thought are, no pun intended, is, hey, it's a school shooting. Yeah, it's a homicide that happened to occur at a school. It was very targeted. It wasn't random. And the second part was that hog from Florida, and a lot of people come out and go, this is it. One's too many. We have to draw the line. We're going to show up every time to improve gun laws. It's a foreign national. He can't legally buy a gun anyway.
Yeah.
So we're conflating issues. And let me just go an inch further before the people start throwing the tomatoes. Look, there's havoc on the streets. Havoc on the street creates a fear that we can't see, but we feel it every day.
And like we know it's there. Yep.
And we know it's there, but we can't point our finger exactly at it. But there's a lot of contributing factors, so it feels overwhelming. So what do? You say, well, we'll privatize, we'll gate our community, we'll hire some security guards. No offense, the security guards are under-trained. They're not an experienced road vet copper. And then what do you get? You get a couple of guys in Indiana stealing wood from a Menards. They pull out, encounter the security guard, and a security guard and the driver are both dead. Now we don't want that reckoning. You see, we want accountability, Brian, but we don't want reckoning. And that's the problem, is we have to think that right next door to us, that wonderful couple that moved in, that I wave to every time he's string trimming the lawn and everything else, is in turmoil. And he's just waiting for that cup to bump into the last vestige of humility or humanity. And he's not getting that pat on the back, and he's not getting anything, and he's not getting any relief. And he comes home and the food's cold, or the food's not there, or he didn't bring the food, or he forgot something. And Brian, guess what? Now it's that turmoil comes to the surface and we can't see anything. So it's a form, and I'm going to use the form of rage again, because there's not really a word for what happens there. But that psychological entropy is so fucking powerful in that moment, Brian, that I look and I go, do over. I want to start over. And the only way to start over. So here's the real point that I brought Whitman into this too. Why kill your wife and then kill your mom and then go and kill the other people and kill yourself? Because it makes sense. I love my wife. I cannot expose my wife to the pain that I'm feeling and the shame of what I'm about to do. I'm not going to subject my mom in her last couple of years of knowing that her son killed a bunch of people and blew his fucking brains out. Pardon the vernacular.
Yeah.
Now I have to clean that mess up. I have to make sure the kids don't have to go to school and remember daddy this way. And once I finish that, Brian, now I can tabula rasa. Now I can clean slate it. But why do I kill others? Because I hurt so bad that for those last couple of minutes, Brian, I have to feel that reckoning. I have to feel that I'm getting some comeuppance, you know, that I'm getting some attention for how bad I felt these past years, decades, whatever else.
And that's in so many different situations too. That's like a domestic violence situation sometimes, where the guy's beating up, you know, his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And it's because they're, you know, for the term we use all the time, a broken human being, can't cope with whatever's going on. So do they go pick a fight with a random person on the street or go, no, it's this is someone that's close to me too, so I can take it out on you. It's you know, why a lot of those arguments and things happen. And you know, but you know, when it gets to this level, you know, it's how do we miss it even though it's screaming at us? Because we still don't see this as a whole in our own personal life sometimes. Like, what's really happening? We can
talk about that person, right?
No one ever puts yourself in the, it's just like I don't talk about it as much on here, but obviously in our in-person training course, when I bash all these shitty fucking video breakdowns of things that happen, I'm like, this is fucking horrible. They're so bad. They're almost no value in any of the ones that I see, because it's all happening right there. They wait till like the thing that happened. They don't talk about anything else. But the idea is no one ever sees them. No one ever puts themselves in that shoes. It's like, that's you in that situation. You don't want to see it as you. Therefore, you're going to get into that situation. If you can't say, if you can't walk yourself into that and go, how would I get into that? How would this happen? What would happen? What would have to happen in my life, Greg, for me to want to kill my own family and then kill a bunch of other people? Well, for me, that would, I actually don't know what that is. It would have to be so fucking significant. You know what I'm saying?
It would be huge.
But if I've got a fucking brain tumor or I've got other issues and I've got all this stuff going on, it's not that significant.
It doesn't have to be that significant.
Nope.
Exactly. It's a much lower standard.
It's a much lower standard. And so when we're applying our standard to how we handle things,
that's the problem.
I'm at the PTA meeting and someone gets up and they're pissed off and angry and yelling and storms out. I go, well, that's person's, you know, that behavior.
So I move their lens to the side and I slide mine forward.
Yeah.
And I go, well, because
that's ridiculous.
That spelling error or use that, you know, diphthong incorrectly or whatever else, that they're beneath me. They're somehow different. No, that's you. That is you. That is the ultimate concession of compassion is you looking at the least of us and saying, that is me. Jesus was really good at that. You know what I'm saying? Buddha was really good at that. And the problem is that we keep thinking of stoicism. I'm talking about a guy that's got $40 in his wallet and he's wondering if he should buy Narcan or some more heroin.
Yeah.
We don't do well in the environments when we look down and in because we want to perceive ourselves through a different lens. And those were families just like us and they had social leakage. And they asked for help and they told people things were wrong. Like you say, well, just go talk to an attorney. Well, attorney's going to charge it. Well, not all attorneys charge it. And well, I can't see myself going to a food bank. That's too embarrassing. Dude, go to the food bank.
Yeah, you know, there's resources out there.
I can spend hundreds of dollars at the bar with my friends, but I'm not going to spend the $10 for gym membership and go Muay Thai and, you know, get a good sweat on and get rid of some of that anger. So my poor decision-making manifests itself a little at a time, over time. And all of a sudden I look back and I say, that time I spent online searching for porn, that time I was late for work because I was drinking with my buddies, that time they magnify themselves, Brian. And it's like the wrong end of the magnifying glass now. And we're burning ants and those ants hurt and they're screaming and we've got to do something about it. And we're not talking here about a mental health crisis. Because most of the people that do this are not involved in a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
It's a protracted, painful episode, and they see no way out.
Well, and once you brought up, I like the way you put it earlier when you talked about we've had sort of a standard of care of how things are supposed to be, and that got shook up pretty badly. And again,
COVID changed the entire world.
Everyone, it's like we're no longer having that discussion, and we haven't even realized the massive effect it had because everyone's just in general, humans are like, well, you got to push on, you just keep going. It's like, yeah, but can we stop and fucking learn from this for a second?
Exactly.
Like that massive shift. Look at what it did to different cities. Look at what it did to law enforcement in our country. Look at what it did to this. All of a sudden, this pendulum started swinging. I don't know where it fucking landed, but you know what I mean? But the idea is you said it well with the, we were used to a standard of care and then that shifted. So now our baseline has shifted. So now what is it? We're all, it's like a discovery learning process with people.
Exactly. I mean, been now for three flipping years.
Well, that just happened at my, I just told you about it, like right out in front of my parents' house, a girl I grew up with, you know what I mean? She was fucking carjacked visiting her parents who live across the street from mine, right? You know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, three 15-year-old kids, carjacked her, you know, threw her down, beat her up a little bit, jumped in the car, took off. Kids were in the car. So then they stopped about a block down, dumped the kids out, took off. They're arrested a little while later. What do you think is going to happen? Well, they're 15 years old. They're juveniles. It's fucking kidnapping. Okay. Like, but is something going to happen? So now this is a community. Like, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, but I grew up in a community of all, you know, it was mostly city workers. It was like cops, firemen, city planners, like literally like a lot of people who work for the city. And the neighborhood's gotten even nicer since I grew up in. And it always was nice. I mean, it was a good, you know, neighborhood. You normal fights and stupid shit and us being hood rat stealing shit, but like it was the neighborhood was a safe neighborhood.
Every neighborhood in America,
you know what I mean?
Every middle class neighborhood,
exactly. And so now that happens and it changes the dynamic and that fear sets in. My problem with it, when you don't deal with this, whether how these things are complex issues, right? So they're interdependent on different factors in there. But a lot of times people just need to feel like someone is doing something about this. Because if you feel like, okay, someone's listening to me, someone's doing something, what it does is turn down that temperature, turns the volume down a little bit. Okay. And sometimes
a little bit.
But at scale,
maybe that's all you need.
Well, think about that at scale. That's fucking massive. Like if you get, if you just turn it down 10%, right? Oh, but 10% across a population, holy fuck, that's massively significant.
1%, I would argue.
Oh, no,
I would argue that,
completely agree.
You're making a significant impact.
Completely agree. And so that all adds to it. So it's like my thing of like, well, the full moon has nothing to do with it, but it actually does. It's like, well, wait, what do you mean? It's like, well, if I perceive
we create
it to be,
the inevitable,
we create it, in my mind. And if I'm right. If I've got all this on my plate and my cup is full and I can't handle this, and then that happens, and now it's a full moon, and like that's another thing. It's like, does it contribute to it? No, but yes. I mean, it technically
let me give
does
you
not,
an example
it
of
absolutely
that.
Does if that person believes it does.
So I have a family member, God rest their soul, that's out of the inner circle family. And they used to go to these estate sales all the time and auctions and things. And the one thing that they mentioned is never, ever buy a mirror from somewhere else, because that mirror contains all of the lives of the people that came before it.
Okay.
And they can come spilling out at the worst possible.
I think I've seen that
and
movie.
They gave me justifications every time for in their life, every time they saw an example of that. So do you search for it or does it search for you?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, looking from the fly on the wall perspective, scientifically, doesn't matter because it's still as powerful, right?
Yes.
So whether it's a talisman, whether it's a tale told to the tribes, right? Doesn't matter. Because if that person believes in it strongly enough, it's true to that person. So if you think that you can't see your way out and you're convinced, I'll give you an example. When Sunday night came around, I knew I had a couple of things that were going for me. One, it was going to be Disney and it was going to be family night on our gigantic console TV. The console must have been 8 feet by probably 4 feet by 2 or 3 feet, but the TV screen was, 16 inch. Right. But he had to have the whole console with the speakers and the antennas and everything. We were watching Disney and it was going to be Pete the Mixed Up Puma or something. And you know what? Not during one of those shows did I get angst or anxiety or fear, or did I get the impression that white supremacy was leaking through because Roald Dahl wrote James and the Giant Peach with one hand while he was flipping off Jews with the other hand.
Right.
The problem is you have to have a relief valve. And if your relief valve is surrounded by naysayers and you're constantly seeing the one picture of the 12-year-old kid that committed the carjacking and the shooting and he's in handcuffs in the back and everybody's going, yay. But in the very next day, you see a picture of a 12-year-old young inner city kid in the backseat and they go, hey, they handcuffed this kid for no reason. You can't have it both ways. And when you're bombarded with those messages, your brain has to see a way forward. Your brain has to go, oh, I'm learning this lesson because that's how we're programmed psychologically and in survivally, right? So all of a sudden, we see all of these random messages coming through and I can't make sense of them. So now I'm frustrated and the turmoil and turbidity begins. And that constant turmoil makes me think, is it me? And then I look and I go, I'm getting less of the paycheck. So I buy a lottery ticket and I lose on a lottery ticket. How the fuck can I lose on a $20 lottery ticket when I know that I see a show called Millionaire on TV and this, and then I'm watching Entourage, but I see my own news. And then we have the former president and everyone in his cabinet going to jail in Fulton County, Georgia. And then the other guy whose kid is this, Brian, I don't care what side you come down on.
Yeah, it all
what
adds
I'm
to
saying
it.
Is we're all coming down hard on our heads. And that closed head injury is going to manifest. And what's it going to manifest? I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to hide in my basement, or I'm going to hurt others. And I'm oversimplifying, folks, but please get what I'm trying to tell you. All of those messages take a little bite, and we only have so much capacity. And so if we don't return to looking at things with empathy and compassion, you and I disagree on one thing. We disagree on many things, folks. But the one thing that we always disagree on is when we're talking about taking another person's perspective.
It,
you know, you know scientifically how important it is, but you say it's not as easy as I make it all the time.
But you get what I'm saying. I don't disagree.
I absolutely agree with you.
Okay.
I absolutely.
Because real quick, so everyone knows, psychologically speaking, it's very almost impossible to take another human's perspective. But I say in a sense, like to really know, but you don't.
But
my thing is you don't have to.
You don't really have to. I tell you.
Maybe it's a semantic difference or something. You know what I mean?
No,
I don't know.
It's a cultural and generational too.
Yeah.
Because I say it's hugely important to put on those Crocs and walk around a little bit.
Absolutely.
And see with you and lay down.
Of course.
You agree with that.
Oh, 100%.
But you're saying that's not essential because we've come so far that we can process information faster and better than anywhere before. So we don't have to literally walk in those shoes. And see, that's the only thing is it's both sides of the same coin and we both agree. But my thing is it's harder and harder when I'm bombarded with flack, with noise, to find the pure signal. And the pure signal is this. Most people are okay. Most flyover states love God and our country's doing pretty good.
Yes.
But holy shit, the Chinese just bought the hair salon next to me. Right? I mean, isn't it? It seems no, so simple.
we don't weigh information correctly. Like we attribute more. Well, yeah, not even it's definitely not equal. It's not equal, but we always see them
force
as equal.
It to be equal.
Yeah.
That's the idea is the news media says,
We can't. Well, then I wouldn't say it's not just news media. It's people. All of us do that. We think this
but
is
it's
the
exacerbated
worst thing ever.
But
this is these are all if you want to understand why these things occur that we're talking about, this is why, right? This adds to it. Is it some cable news channel's fault that this person did it? No, obviously not. It's not But did it add to what that
are
person is
contributing?
Feeling? Of course, because they were consuming this. But that's no different than say, like. But then it goes back to look. If I want to, order a Coke when I get a cheeseburger, I should be able to order a Coke when I get a cheeseburger. Yeah, I know sugar is bad for you. It's like the worst thing to put in your fucking body. But it's delicious, and I love having it. Like, I made the choice, right? But what we don't realize then sometimes is when all that stuff starts to coalesce and build, and it's an ebb and flow, and it's like the constant bombardment, and so when we see these things, just to kind of take it back to how do we miss it? It's like we're in it. You can't see the forest through the trees sometimes when you're in it, and when the baseline is constantly shifting, and I go back to what you said, our standard, what was used to, has now shifted, so we have to have a new comparison. Well, the problem is if I'm comparing myself to the the NBA players, I fucking suck at basketball, Greg.
Right.
I'm really, really, really bad. But if I compare myself to my 40-year-old dude neighbor down the street, I'm all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we lack that comparative baseline though.
So baseline plus anomaly is so hugely important, but building a fidelity filled baseline is the key.
That is the key. Everything.
If I've been taught my entire life that I can be anything and that coming in last is still important and that you can compete for any of those NBA positions, you got an equal footing. And nobody's ever said, hey, rain falls a little bit and sometimes the ground gets muddy and sometimes you get shit on your foot. Okay. If you don't understand, you get shit on your foot sometimes, then what's going to happen is that's going to be cataclysmic at some point in the future when things go wrong. And so what do? We turn on the camera and now we have 90 Day Romance and we have Island of Mystic Toys and we have, Naked Strangers on a Train or whatever else. And
that was you.
By the
Austin.
Way, if somebody does that, I get money for that.
That's why you're sick, Greg.
But all of those things don't even start. All of those things contribute to what we don't understand is Brian's analogy, Brian's look into Schrodinger's cat was so simple. When he said sugar's horrible for us, but we can't get away from it. So at some point in our future arc, we're going to look back and we're going to have three chins and gout. And we're going to look and go, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, I wish. The problem with psychological trauma is it has an expiration date. And sooner or later, it's going to rear its ugly head. And you don't get to choose what that date is. And you don't have sometimes the wherewithal to be able to read it on the outside of the gosh damn box. And what I mean by that is now you walk into the place and all of those things have been tagging along like Scrooge's buddy pulling the chains.
Yeah.
And
Marley.
Marley. And all of a sudden you're in that McDonald's and you get the cold fries. Or all of a sudden you wave the person ahead and the person waves you ahead and you flip them off and then it's a road rage. You won't see it coming because you're not programmed to. Let's go back to societal and survival. Do your own research. I'm not going to educate you today, but around 33 to 35 miles an hour, 33 yeah. angular repose, huge, important thing. Think about flying or jumping out of a helicopter with a parachute, all the different things, a gosh damn pile of dirt you're building. 33 is huge. But if you were traveling at 35 miles an hour, even if the person was holding an IED or a gun or a knife or something else, you're not going to see it. Why? Because our early selves didn't have to achieve those speeds and
right.
make those critical decisions. So what we've done now with the advent of social media and AI and all these other issues is we've accelerated the learning curve and our understanding and information and data, but we're not really good at processing it yet.
No, we're terrible at it.
That may take a day or a million years.
Yeah.
And we haven't reckoned that. We're back to reconciling, Brian, the reckoning. And what happens, therefore, is that sometimes we feel that we're on equal footing with these intelligence giants when we're not. So anytime that you put yourself up and propriocept that you're as good as that person down the street or as anybody else, and your opinion weighs equally, but then somebody comes and pulls the rug out from under you and
yeah.
says, yeah, but for this whole section of your life that you thought was secure, it isn't. Oh, and by the way, okay, your vote didn't count and you need to get back in line. And Brian, sometimes that's it. And we have to be able to see that in ourselves, in our kids, and in our neighbors. I'll give you one for instance. A kid shot himself the other night, 16-year-old kid, because two guys from Gambia or Nigeria got online and talked him into a sexting interface, right? Hey, I'm a kid at school. I'm this girl. I'll send you a photo of my bare breast. Send me a photo of you and then flip the switch. And it's called sextortion. Now, folks, if you're my age or older, look it up, learn about it. And that kid found that there was no way out. I send you $1,000 or I'm releasing it to everybody at your school.
Yeah.
I'll send it to your mom. I'll send it to everybody. And the kid says, look, I'm going to have to kill myself because I don't have the money. And they said, good, because this will ruin your life. If that boy would have known about yeah. sextortion, if the family,
yeah.
I'm not blaming the victims right. or the family.
No, it's
but it's got to be everywhere,
right? Unaware
that's
of something.
A good use
yeah.
of social media.
Okay. Yeah.
Your own daughter looks at people that smoke now and goes, why would anybody do that? I was of an age that, Brian,
yeah.
I was smoking during class.
Yeah.
You know
well,
what
I'd explained to her, like, people used to smoke inside their homes. And yeah. she was like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah,
exactly.
like, you go to someone's house, like, they smoke inside
yep.
their house. And just that alone, like, not even go outside, not even. And I was like, no, man, like, people just smoked constantly.
Restaurant,
there was an ashtray at every table.
Come on.
Like completely, it was completely
and huge.
Foreigner.
Hey, do you remember the size of the ashtray?
Oh, yeah, they're heavy too. Yeah, they're heavy too.
Huge.
And so, so that
we can fix it, man.
I know, but that's a good point, and that's the comes down to the education and awareness of some
exactly.
of this, and that's hugely important, and being able to take that step back and going like, all right, well,
wait a minute,
we've been in with conversations before too, and people, oh, yep. did you hear this? And I'm like, yeah, no, man. I get kind of selfish with this stuff when I get overwhelmed with information,
yes.
and I go, what affects Brian's life? And then I focus on that. it makes
exactly.
it a lot
but
easier.
Listen, we don't cherry pick either. And the reason we don't cherry pick, folks, is you've got to be careful with information, because almost always the first view of information from the scene is wrong. It's flawed. It's
yes.
lacking. So we like to wait till we have a full picture, or at least enough in the picture that we can opine about what the most likely course of action or the most dangerous course of action is. And people hate that because
yeah.
they want to know now. Well, we're right more than we're wrong.
I know. I love that when people say, did you see what's going on with this? I was like, yeah. Well, what do you think? I go, I don't know, man. This shit just broke like an hour ago.
Hold on. Right.
Really not putting much value in
yeah,
this
exactly.
analysis here.
And we're not saying listen, don't run when you hear the gunfire. That's not what we're saying at all. We're saying that when you go back and you're trying to figure out the demonstrations of intent, everybody's got a story. But so, the first witness in the world is generally your eyewitness.
Yeah. So that kind of comes back to, you know, how we miss it too. It's another thing, right? We're often going off of whatever just happened in front of us or very little information. And we make decisions based on that, which is, well, that's what humans do. It's sometimes necessary in emergent situations, but you know, it's even in that, taking that step back and being like, okay, well, like, what don't I know right now? What do I not know that could potentially, you know, because that could add more, you know, to complete the puzzle a little bit.
Yes.
More. I can see what we're building here. And that goes with all of these situations. And again, I'll put the links in the episode details. People
want it's so important, stories. Please.
But you know, if someone could have in that moment gone, man, this is the most catastrophic thing for this human being that's ever going to happen. Maybe we need to intervene now because this is clearly not handling it well. And the earlier, you know, the earlier the intervention, the less likely someone's going to do something, and the less likely there's going to be blowback on it. You know what I mean? Because some you know, people do the, well, I don't want to, you know, get someone in trouble, or I don't want to say something and do this. It's like, well, then this is going to keep happening. And
you're exactly
and,
right.
And there's nothing
to say something.
The communication aspect of it is that, and seeing that in that moment, that's why when we take certain precautions, or even when we're just talking to people on the street, you know, and we're doing stuff like, if you're up talking to someone, I'm on Overwatch, right? Yep. And say vice versa, if I'm doing something, you're watching, because people are like, well, what, it's the middle of the day, it's right here. It's like, yeah, nope. Do you not get this? This is a fucking 24/7 thing. Like, it's doesn't matter what up, it is.
We walked up to a street guy.
Yeah.
And the guy had what looked like a burglary tool fashioned in the back of his truck.
Yeah.
And we were in a bad neighborhood of town.
Well, okay? We walked up to the truck first, and then
right. And you know, he pops out like a jack in the box. And the idea is to de-escalate the situation immediately.
Yeah.
I go into a story. Hey, back when I was in high school, I used to have to use that on my truck. Now, it could have been a stolen truck. He could have been the guy that stole it, everything else. But I gave him an out. I gave him a whole bunch of things, and we're not important to you, and you can drive away at any time. Brian, it turned into a great conversation. We got a little bit of bit on it.
Yeah.
I have to do that because I don't want to get shot and stabbed the day that we go out and do those interviews.
Neither
because
do I.
We take a lot of risks. We do. And so looking at it from that perspective, I would tell you, one, why is life skewed? Why is it that sex care worker or sex workers and drug abusers or users and sometimes street people, why are they the most resilient? Because they've taught themselves to be.
Yep,
they bounce back from everything. And you look at that and you don't see how important that standard is, that no matter how bad it gets, there's a tomorrow and I can fix this, or I can go somewhere, I can do something. And you're going, poor example. No, it's a great example.
Yeah.
Just stop putting your lens on it for a minute. Then let's go just a little bit further. There was and today's the day to hate me because I don't care anyway. I'm so gosh damn sick. But there was an FBI raid within the last 48 hours. Look it up. And the raid was for a person that has a veteran that has significant PTS and some form of mental illness from that. But that person went in and did a stabbing at some store like a Home Depot or something. And so the feds, for whatever reason, got a warrant and they go to the house and they're going into the house. And at some point, there's a scrum inside the house and they shoot the person. The person is now a decedent. Immediately, we're posting that the family members who weren't there said, listen, he never carried a gun. He didn't have a gun. They shot him. And as a matter of fact, from the position they shot him, they couldn't have seen if he had a gun or anything else. So to your argument, here's this brick wall and it's got significant amounts of stone missing or places that it needs mortar. So instead of looking at that and saying, which of these is most critical for me to solve now to avoid the whole house falling down?
Yeah.
What I do is I fill those gaps with tinder.
Whatever I can. Yeah.
In a bird's nest and this and that and the other. And it is going to eventually come crashing down. And that misinformation does so much more damage than just saying, hey, listen, we'll wait and see. So then somebody goes, yeah, but the FBI lies all the time. the FBI lies. Everybody lies, but they don't lie all the time. The FBI is going to cover this investigation up, and every cop on there is going to look the other way. No, that never happens. Only in Hollywood. It's not the way. But Brian, why do we miss it? Because the truth is right in front of us, and we hate confronting the truth. We would much rather go on the life that we've designed for ourselves. Again, why when the rug was pulled out from us after COVID, we're so crushed. We developed a standard of what we think our life will become. And when it doesn't meet those expectations, we're crushed.
Well, and, you know, we have to find, like, I mean, just look on social media, whatever book is out now, we have to find meaning and purpose in everything. So we often connect dots that are just random dots. And we don't
star in the sky.
Don't understand. As humans, we don't understand randomness at all. Like we think, and part of that's it's sort of an imperative to believe in order to be a contributing member of the tribe and survive, things matter, right? My role has to matter in society, Greg, because so I feel part of the tribe and that you take care of me when I'm sick, you know what I mean? And you watch after me, you know, like
that's the
idea. And so we sort of have this, you know, almost biological imperative that there's a reason everything happens and it's connected in some way. And there's a lot of faith that has to do with that. Which is great. If you want to believe in your creator or whoever it is, I don't care, but there is a lot of fucking randomness out there. And sometimes the weirdest shit will happen it fucking happened.
Here's another random one. So they busted a woman yesterday night because she was cheating on Social Security because her 95-year-old dad, she was still making the collections for his Social Security. And he's been buried in the yard for the last couple of years. And you look at that and you go, what kind of person could do that? I'm eating cat food. I'm skipping meals. I can't make my house payment. My dad was going to die anyway.
Yep.
And you look at that and you go, yeah, person's still a criminal. Yeah, but what was their intent? Was their intent to defraud the U.S. government? Or was their intent to make it a couple of more years because working at the Circle K just wasn't cutting it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, putting yourself in the shoes of somebody else. I'm not saying have the level of compassion that she doesn't have to pay the consequences,
right?
But I'm saying understand,
just what understand
over it to that decision,
yeah,
and that'll help you. That'll help ease the pain, right?
You don't have to be okay with it. You don't have to approve. You don't have to say, oh, there's nothing wrong.
Don't approve it, right?
No, you just have to say, oh, okay, I get it. I see how you followed this path and got you to this point. All right, it started. Way
I can't
back
talk
here
to you
with something that seemed reasonable, and then slowly over time, it got less and less reasonable, but not to you in the moment.
Exactly. I cannot talk to you about school shootings and the importance of a parking lot and giving the gift of time and distance when your kid was shot at a school shooting.
You can't.
I can't.
Exactly.
So I need to understand that what we're doing is we're filling the jug past its capacity. And sooner or later, some of that hate, death, and fear is going to spill out. Mm-hmm. And so what did we used to do as a society? We used to come together for a block party or a county fair or a softball game or get behind Timmy, the wheelchair kid in South Park, and you know, stage a dance marathon or something.
Hey, man.
And Brian, now we're exactly, we met him the other day. And now it's this resounding concussive expressionist wave that's hitting us over and over and over from social media, where we see like the gosh damn, and I'm old, Brian, so this shit bothers me. The hey, let's tell the teacher that I've got a gun in my backpack, and that's a challenge. Hey, I like the challenge for cerebral palsy. I like the challenge to try to, you know, identify and fight cancer, but to try to go up and videotape yourself telling your teacher that you've got a gun or a bomb in your backpack. And you look and you go, yeah, but that's such a small percentage. Yeah, but Brian, I haven't got a million hits. Apparently Eric Levine has. And that gosh damn thing about telling the teacher. We have to adjust our lens, or we're going to continue down this path until it hurts us worse than it is hurting us now.
Well, you see that in the that's why I think there's so much of this, you know, get outside, do this, be part of this group. There's the, you know, there's like all this, and most of it's just people selling you shit on Instagram. But the idea is
selling you because we know it's the right way.
I'm missing something, and people have to go. And there's there's a lot out there. And I think that's the answer to it. The answer to it is because people, it took a significant event like COVID for people to realize, like, where are we going? What's important? What do I need? And so there's all this fucking noise. And then it's like, well, what does a human actually need in this? And, you know, we kind of took a little spiral there for a while.
My head's in that
from the immediate topic, but it all has to do with that, because we construct the world. People really, you do live in a simulation in a sense, because you create your world. It goes back to the reality shows that I hate, but the one woman on there was like, "Let me speak my truth," and I was like, I hate these shows, and I love that line because it's so perfect. It's absolutely perfect. It's that's what I felt happened, regardless of if that's what happened. That is what happened, and that's how it's affecting me. So if I can see it, and this goes back to taking that person's perspective, like, how did they take it? Not what did I just see? How did that person take that comment right there, or that situation in life, or whatever that event was? Because they're clearly taking it differently than I am right now. Right? I'm going, well, this sucks, this is annoying, but you know, no big deal. Where it's ending that person's world today. So what's going on in their world? And that being able to that, it's like what the, you know, we talked to Chip Huth about and Arbiter people. We obviously go into a lot of detail and really give an explanation of what that means and how to do it. But that simple is like, okay, how do I put it from their perspective to know what they're likely going to do? Because, you know, you clearly don't see it in the moment where someone's going to do something catastrophic and it could hurt you or the community. I mean, you look at what happens when those things happen in those communities. They talk about it for years. It's devastating. It's
exactly.
Like, it changes the dynamic.
And we forget about it because we're only taking a quick peek, Brian. Mm-hmm. That's enough to get titillated enough that we're excited by reading the headlines. But what about that parade where that guy in the stolen drove through? Where is he now? And it seems so far away, Brian, that we don't even reconcile anymore. We don't even go back that way because we're always pushing forward. And that's what I mean. When we approach that speed and event horizon becomes blurry, we're going to make poor choices. And then we think we have to stick with the poor choices rather than throwing in the towel or raising our hand and saying, "I need help."
Yeah, agreed. I think that's I think the event horizon is a good place to stop this episode, actually. So maybe that's where we can
watching that film right now. Had nothing to do with our talk.
We covered a lot in here. And we covered some of those cases, and then, you know, we talked about Whitman and
perspective.
What's his name from Bath Township, Kehoe, and these are good things Andrew to Kehoe. Learn and understand, because it's been going on longer than anyone thinks. And I mean, it's the same thing every time as far as we look at it. Now, Kehoe is an interesting one because he literally did have a tumor in his brain pressing on it that clearly affected
Whitman.
How he thought.
Absolutely.
And he was screaming it to the world. Kehoe is very similar to any other shooter you see today. I mean, it's like, go back 100
disgruntled
years.
In pain, right? And something's got to give, buddy.
And so it's being able to see it and not miss it, in a sense. You know, that's the thing that, you know, it's why we investigate every little thing. Hey, did you see that? Stop, flip the car around and check. Because why?
Exactly.
Because that could be that's the missing key. You found something that you don't know what that leads to. And being curious with your environment, man. I mean, that's what it's about.
That's why science is going to fix this. That's why math is so important. I have to give a shout out to Clark Dever.
Oh, yeah.
He had such a great time in Austin. First of all, Warren Bungie Cook in the 8th and the Marines.
Yeah,
what a great experience.
It was fun.
And then Austin PD, thank you so much. And then go to Clark. I love sparring with Clark because Clark is from a different time in a different way. And he just has so much knowledge. And Brian, that's why I love so much sparring with you, is because it takes me out of my comfort zone. And
exactly. You know, that's
always
where,
learn something.
Yeah. That's where it comes from. That gets into parenting. What I see people do, it's like, you're not going to expose your kids to the danger of the world. What do you think's going to happen?
Yep.
Like, you're not going to explain it to them. You're not going to show them.
That's why TikTok
isn't the problem. It's the people trying to get in your kids' pants are the problem.
Exactly. So but those heavy thinkers,
Yeah.
And the reason that we had fun with Fox and Prim and all these other people over the last few weeks, when you challenge your assumptions, you rebound harder, smarter, and faster, but you have to challenge them.
The things that you know work that stood up to the challenge get stronger and harder, and the things that didn't that you thought were, they fall away, so you become faster. I mean, it's just that's
exactly right.
You know
exactly
what I mean? Right. Like you,
right, that should have been at the first, the fudge. First 5 minutes of the episode. Well, you know, blew that. So everybody, watch this back.
I'll go back.
Damn it.
All right. Well, we do appreciate everyone for tuning in. Thank you guys so much. There's more on the Patreon side. And like I said, please, it'd be great if you can share an episode with a friend, and, you know, leave us a review, in whatever app you listen to it on. It does help because people do come across a new podcast. Yes. They go down and check the reviews. So it does help. We would appreciate that, as we try to grow things and we got more coming. So, anything else to add, Greg?
Shelly's parents are on the way. They'll be here tomorrow.
You're terrified. So
if this doesn't help, I'm going to go out and invest in a cheap bottle of bourbon and just sit in the yard. So I love them so much, but you know, it's been a long drive. Tomorrow's going to be a challenge no matter what.
It's taxing when the family comes in. So
it always is.
It always is.
And even people you love, people you look forward to, it's, you know, it's the old shitter's full mentality, right?
Yeah. Clark, shitter's full. All right.
I pray for their safe travel.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And don't forget that training changes behavior.
That's all for today, folks. But if you'd like even more content, you can head over to our Patreon page. The link can be found in the episode details. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, follow us on social media, and please tell your friends about the show. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for your support.